shining things, flying like birds, in the fields of North Norfolk continued to be reported. The brilliant things looked electric. When they rested on trees, everything around them was illuminated. Putti's descriptions are very different from a pale, yellow glow. Upon the night of December 1st, he saw something that he thought was the lamp of a motorcycle, moving rapidly toward him, in a field, stopping, then rising several yards, moving higher, and then retreating. It moved in various directions. See the field, January 11, 1908. De Sibour was uncareful, in his mystery squelching story, his bobbed story, a story that forced a mystery to a commonplace ending. No gamekeeper shot a luminous owl, at this time, in North Norfolk. But somebody did say that he had conventionally solved the mystery. Eastern Daily Press, Norwich, February 7, 1908. That, early in the morning of the 5th, Mr. E. S. Cannell, of Lower Helston, saw something shining on a grass bank. According to him, it fluttered up to him, and he found that it was the explanation of a mystery. It was a luminous owl, he said, and, as told by him, he carried it to his home, where it died, still luminous. But see the press of the 8th that Mr. Cannell's dead owl had been taken to a taxidermist, who had been interviewed. Of course a phosphorescence of a bird, whether from decayed wood, or feather fungi, would be independent of life or death of the bird. Questioned as to whether the body of the owl was luminous or not, the taxidermist said, "I have seen nothing luminous about it." In zoological journals, one frequently comes upon allusions to these things, or beings, of North Norfolk. No gamekeeper killed one of them, but the story of the gamekeeper who had killed a luminous owl is told in these records that are said to be scientific. It is not necessary that a gamekeeper should kill a luminous owl, and so put an end to a mystery. A story that he did will serve just as well. The finding, or the procuring in some way or another, of the body of an owl, did not put an end to the mystery, except in most of the records, that are said to be scientific. There were at first two lights, and there continued to be two lights. The brilliant things continued to be seen in the fields, flitting about, appearing and disappearing. The last observation findable by me, May 3, 1908, is recorded in the Trans. Norfolk and Norwich Naturalist Society, 8-550. Purdy records an observation upon the two lights, seen together, more than a month after the date upon which Mr. Cannell said that his owl had fluttered right up to him. Something else was reported, in this region. In the Eastern Daily Press, January 28, 1908, it is said that, at night moon bright a dark, globular object, with a structure of some kind upon the side of it, traveling at a great pace, had been seen in the sky, by employees of the Norwich Transportation Company, at Mouse Head. It seemed too large for a kite, and, besides, its movements seemed under control, for it was traveling against the wind. I am here noting only a few of the many records of unknown, seemingly living, luminous things that used to be called will-o'-the-wisps. They come and they go, and their reappearances in a small region make me think of other localized repetitions that we have noted. London Daily Express, February 15, and following issues, 1923. Brilliant, luminous things moving across fields, sometimes high in the air, at Fenny Compton, Warwickshire. They were intense lights, like automobile headlights. Sometimes these luminous things, or beings, hovered over a farmhouse. It was a deserted farmhouse, according to the London Daily News, February 13. About a year later, one of these objects, or whatever they were, returned and was reported as a swiftly moving light, by several persons, one of them Miss Olive Knight, a school teacher, of Fenny Compton, London Sunday News, January 27, 1924. The Earl of Erne tells, in the London Daily Mail, December 24, 1912, of brilliant luminosities that, from time to time, in a period of 7 or 8 years, had been appearing near Loch Earn, Londonderry, Ireland, in size and shape very much like a motor car lamp. In later issues of the Daily Mail, the Countess of Erne tells of these things, or creatures, like motor car lamps, large and round. 11. Science is very much like the Civil War, in the USA. No matter which side won, it would have been an American victory. By science, I mean conventionalization of alleged knowledge. It, or maybe she, acts to maintain itself, or whatever, against further enlightenment, or alleged enlightenment, but when giving in, there is not surrender, but partnership, and something that had been bitterly fought then becomes another factor in its, or her, prestige. So, 70 years ago, no matter whether evolutionists or anti-evolutionists had won, it would have been a big, scientific victory anyway. No wonder so many of us are humbled by a reputation that can't lose anyway. Science is a maw, or a headless and limbless stomach, an amoeba-like gut that maintains itself by incorporating the assimilable and rejecting the indigestible. There are whirlwinds and waterspouts, and it seems acceptable that there have been rare occurrences of faintly luminous owls. Then by a process of sorting over data, rejecting the objectionable, and taking in the desirable, science saves itself great pains, because a bellyache is something that is only a gut in torment. So, with alimentary treatments, a shower of living things can always be made to assimilate with the whirlwind explanation, and a brilliant, electric thing can be toned down digestibly. In extreme cases there is a secretion of fishmongers or gamekeepers. In some cases of obstinate unassimilableness, it is supposed to be necessary to swat a little girl. But I doubt the necessity, because there is in human beings such a fondness, or sometimes such a passion, for confessing, that sooner or later somebody will come forward with almost any desired confession. Sometimes, from time to time, half a dozen persons confess to having committed the same murder. The police pay scarcely any attention anymore to a new confession, in the matter of the Hall murder, in New Jersey. There was a case, in an English police court, of a man who had given himself up, as a deserter from the army. But a policeman testified that this was his fifth or sixth confession, and that he had never been in the army. The man admitted the charge. But, said he, I have something else that I wish to confess. I'll hear no more of your confessions. 6 months, said the magistrate. In some cases the incentive for false confessions is not obvious, but in others it is obviously to come out of one's pale, yellow glow, and be brilliant in limelight. There have been cases not quite of confessions, but of somebody attributing to himself unexplained occurrences, or taking advantage of them for various kinds of profit. I accept that, if explorers from somewhere else should visit this earth, and if their vessels, or the lights of their vessels, should be seen by millions of the inhabitants of this earth, the data would soon be conventionalized. If beings, like human beings, from somewhere else, should land upon this earth, near New York, and parade up Broadway, and then sail away, somebody, a year or so later, would confess that it had been a hoax by him and some companions, who had dressed up for their parts, and had jabbered, as they thought extramundanians should jabber. New Yorkers would say that from the first they had suspected something wrong. Who ever heard of distinguished foreigners coming to New York, and not trying to borrow something? Or not coinciding with propaganda in newspapers? Probably, in August, 1929, an aeroplane from somewhere in Europe passed over a jungle, and was reported, in a village, by a native. Savages are highly scientific. They reason upon generalizations that are so exclusive as to be nothing short of academic. They are as keen as any Newton, or Einstein, in understanding that, in order to arrive at what is said to be the known, they must start with something that they don't know about. We'd have a pretty good idea of what the wise men said, when they heard the story of a vessel, probably occupied by passengers, that had been seen in the sky, if we could accept that they could be so undignified as to say anything. New York Herald Tribune, August 29, 1929. A traveling light in the sky about 400 miles off the coast of Virginia. It was reported by Thomas Stewart, third mate of the steamship Coldwater, of the South Atlantic Steamship Line. There was something that gave the impression that it was a large, passenger craft. It was traveling at an estimated speed of 100 miles an hour, in the direction of Bermuda. There was an investigation that failed to reveal any transatlantic or Bermuda flight. We shall have an expression upon luminous appearances that may have been of a kind with the seeming creatures of the preceding chapter, or that may belong in another category. Before I could find out the date, and look the matter up, I came upon several humorous allusions, in English newspapers, to a time when there was a scare in England, because of moving lights in the sky. And all the excitement was about the advertising scheme of an automobile manufacturer, who had sent up an imitation airship, with lanterns tied to it. There was a lesson in this, presumably other alleged mysteries could be explained in similar, commonplace terms. I was doing one of my relatively minor jobs, which was going through the London Daily Mail, for a period of about 25 years, when I came upon this. March 25, 1909 that, upon the 23rd of March, at 5:10 o'clock in the morning, two constables, in different parts of the city of Peterborough, had reported having seen an object, carrying a light, moving over the city, with sounds like the sounds of a motor. In the Peterborough Advertiser, March 27, is published an interview with one of these constables, who described an object, somewhat oblong and narrow in shape, carrying a powerful light. To suit whatever anybody should prefer, I could give data to show that only lights, and no object were seen, and that no sound was heard, or that a vessel, carrying lights, was seen, and that sounds, like sounds of a motor, were heard.